Are you ready to join the cutest mindfulness movement ever? This podcast is sponsored by The Cutie Crew, a brand for kids and the young at heart that spreads the message of mindfulness. Head on over to cutiecrewbrand.com and join the movement. Hi, I'm Natalie Calzadilla, and this is the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast. I created this podcast to empower you with knowledge about all forms of alternative healing, personal development, and mysticism. I want you to celebrate your wins and create a life of possibility. You, my friend, are a light worker, a way shower, and you will inspire others to do the same. So grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Pachanga and Possibility. Today, we are talking about flower essences. I'm so excited about today's episode. I am not going to even get into a big intro because I go into a million things in this interview and you're going to hear all of the deliciousness. But Gina is a flower essence practitioner that I personally worked with, and she is wonderful to work with. She's just a beautiful soul, and I've been looking forward to this episode for so long, and I'm excited to have her on. This was a great interview. You're going to learn all about flower essences and how they're different from other things, but I'm not going to get into any of it because I want you to jump into the interview. So here is Gina's bio. So Gina Carney is a clinical herbalist and flower essence practitioner who weaves in shamanic energy healing to help clients use plant medicine, intention, and earth-based practices to restore and maintain health at a deep and lasting level. She is the owner of Herbs and Owls, where she offers in-person and online consults and classes, as well as a full organic herb shop with over 150 herbs located in Jupiter, Florida. Gina earned her professional herbalist certification from the Arborvitae School of Traditional Herbalism in New York City and her flower essence certifications from the Flower Essence Society and Tradition School of Herbal Studies. Her clinical training includes traditional Chinese medicine, Western herbs and energetics, flower essence therapy, and shamanic energy healing. Gina is also an initiate of the School of Practical Philosophy, where she studied meditation, self-realization, and awareness and contentment. Without any further ado, here is Gina Carney. Welcome, Gina, to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. I can't tell you how long I've been waiting to do this episode. I've been all like giggly and excited today, especially when I woke up because it's Flower Essence Podcast Day. So if you can quickly introduce yourself to the audience, tell us a little bit about yourself in your words.
Well, it's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. My name is Gina Carney. I am a clinical herbalist and flower essence practitioner, and my practice is in Jupiter in Florida. And I really just feel honored and blessed to be able to work with the plants, to work with flower essences in my own life, in with my family, with my friends and my clients. And so I'm thrilled to be here sharing flower essences with your community today.
Thank you. Thank you. So what came first, the herbalism or the flower essences?
Definitely the herbalism. I think I was called to work with plants many years ago in my 20s, actually. I was, you know, having some issues with my own health, and I started learning about herbs that were supportive to my body. And it wasn't until I met Claudia Kiel, who is a teacher at the Arborvitae School of Traditional Herbalism, which is where I'm a graduate from, that I discovered flower essences. senses. I remember really clearly being in a class one day and she began talking about flower essences and what they were and how they worked in the body. And when I started working with them, the first essence I ever worked with was Indian pipe. And it really had such a profound impact in my life and how I experienced that essence that I was hooked. It was exactly what I was looking for. And kind of since then, flower essences have been weaved into everything that I do.
That's awesome. So let's do like a flower essence 101. So what is a flower essence? Because I'm sure some people are like, oh yeah, I've seen those things somewhere in Whole Foods. Yeah. And other people might be like, what is this? Is this an essential oil, a tincture? What's happening here? So let's differentiate the essential oils from the essences and from like the herbal tinctures.
So flower essences are a form of vibrational healing. So they're this kind of emerging vibrational energy medicine field that's been happening since the 1930s. So Dr. Bach discovered the Bach remedies in the 1930s. And since then, practitioners like myself and many others have been using them and learning about so many more flowers. I mean, there are hundreds, thousands of them at this point in time. So they're very different from herbs and, you know, tincture use and essential oils. So flower essences are made from living flowers floated in water. So they hold the vibrational imprint through a solar infusion. They hold the vibrational imprint of the healing properties of those flowers, and that those vibrations are infused into the water. And that's what we use in flower essence therapy. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we have essential oils, right? Where it's a lot of flowers, a lot of petals that are used through a distillation process to create a small amount of essential oils. And the real difference, you know, I often have people open the bottles and try to smell them, but flower essences are odorless and tasteless because they're vibrational, right? They're holding that vibrational imprint of those flowers, whereas essential oils are hugely powerful. They have all those volatile oils that we're smelling. And when we compare the flower essences to herbs, I tend to feel that, you know, the herbs are working on our physical body. They're kind of working more here in matter, whereas flower essences are more vibrational and energetic. And so they're working more with our energetic body and our chakras and our energetic system. So it's when we begin to introduce all of these modalities together, the herbs to support the body and the tissue and matter, and the flower essences to support our emotions and our energetic being, is when we really see beautiful things happen in health and wellness.
So how did you start your flower essence journey? So I know you were introduced to them, but then what was that moment in your life where like, okay, I need to study this seriously and become a practitioner and add this to my repertoire?
Yeah. So when I was in herb school and we would be introduced to a new herb, you know, they would pass around kind of tinctures and things, and the people that I was in school with would take something and say, oh, I feel it. I feel it in my throat. I feel my liver, you know, and they would be having all of these sort of real-time experiences. And while I knew in my mind what the herb was doing, I wasn't having that kind of palpable experience. I knew it was helping my body, but I wasn't like, oh, right there, right? Unless it was something really strong and with a taste that, you know, you had to take interest or notice of. And so when I worked with flower essences, and as I said, Indian pipe was the first, but another flower essence that I worked with was Centauri, which I use quite a bit for personal boundaries. And I remember I was working with a blend that had Centauri in it, and I was doing it to further establish my personal boundaries, be able to remain calm and grounded in a situation where there were a lot of people and emotions, you know. And so I remember really clearly, I was standing in a room and there were several people there, and there was a lot of conversation and a lot of noise. And all of a sudden, I felt like this circle around my body. It was almost like I was standing in the middle of like a CD-ROM. So there was this round circle around me, and I was able to breathe. Like I was able to take a moment, gather myself, breathe and ground myself, and then see everything happening around me. And I instantaneously, like this isn't a flash, right? This is a split second. And instantaneously, I said, that's the flower essence. And I had this experience that really showed me that although they're so subtle and so beautiful, they have these profound impacts on our lives. And that really, that experience is sort of ingrained in my mind and really made me want to go forward with using them. And I love how subtle they are and how they have the capacity to make such impactful shifts in our lives pretty quickly, you know, and seeing it in a clinical setting with clients, I am humbled each and every day.
They really are fascinating. And for me, it's been interesting. Like, I've been getting to know them, and you and I worked together for a period of time, and you were making the custom blends for me. And a part of me is like, all right, let me see if this really works, because it just, it feels like I'm just taking drops of water in my mouth. This has no scent, no taste, no anything. I like the burn from the brandy if it has, like, if you're doing a stock bottle. And so, but that was it. And I'm like, I hope these things are working, but I don't know. And it was like that. It's one of those moments where it hit me and I looked back, and after 2 months of us working together, I was like, oh my God, I've made so much progress in this specific thing that I asked you to help me with. But it's frustrating because you don't feel anything. Usually it's not like we take a pharmaceutical, some pill, and all of us, we're used to that immediate, like, you know, response where it works in our body. But with this, you really have to trust the process.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, they are much more subtle. They have a lot to do with intention. They have a lot to do with shifting the vibration. You know, we are sound, we are vibrational beings, and they have this beautiful way of shifting that and helping our body come to resonance. And so, yeah, I mean, there is Rescue Remedy, yes, which is a very well-known flower essence, which I would say people do have that immediate impact, right? That's sort of the one that's like, oh yeah, you know, I am calming down right now. Yeah. And so I think that many people that I talk to, many people don't know about flower essences, but the ones who do usually know the five flower, the Rescue Remedy, and have used it in times of heightened, like, stress, anxiety, tumultuous situations with great relief.
Yes. Yes. I can actually, the experience I had with it is that I wasn't taking it the right, I don't know if it's the right way or not, but the way, I guess, for me, I listened in a podcast about how this other woman recommended using it. And she said, take it every 5 minutes until you feel better, instead of just once during, like, while the shit's hitting the fan, instead of just taking it once, do it every 5 minutes. And I sat down, and it was one of those moments where I was like, all right, bottle, let's see if you're the real deal or not. And I sat there and I just timed it on my Fitbit, and I'm like, all right, few drops, 5 minutes. And it took 15 minutes as I saw when I was like, oh wait, I do feel better. And by 20 minutes, that's it. The anxiety was gone and had, like, finally passed. And ever since then, that's how I use it. I'll just take it and I'll set the timer on my watch. And usually by the third to fourth time, it's like calm down. So, but a lot of people don't know that there's more remedies after five flower, and that there's even flower essence practitioners. And so I had no idea. Right. So what is the role of the practitioner? Like, why would somebody want to work with a practitioner versus just going to Whole Foods and trying to match their feelings to what it says on the bottle?
Yeah. So, you know, a very large part of being an herbalist and flower essence practitioner and blending those modalities is, you know, narrative therapy. It's talking and really understanding what it is that's going on with the individual. So, you know, five people may experience the same exact event, but how each person internalizes that event and the emotions that they tie to that event could be most likely very different. And so it's the role of the skilled practitioner to really understand what's going on beneath the surface, and then to select, you know, to pair the essences with the person, like equals like. And we custom blend. So we look at kind of the whole picture, like, not just that one event, but like, is courage needed? Is grounding needed to move through this? Do we need something softening as well? Because we know potentially a lot of emotions may come up, right? And so we listen and then use our experience and our education and our really experience with the essences to kind of pair them together and work directly with that client. And something you said earlier, you know, like, all right, bottle, is this thing going to work? You know, or even looking back after 2 months, I think one thing that I love in working with clients is doing just that. Like, I'll go back in my notes after several sessions and say, do you you remember when, you know, when this was an issue? And, you know, often they're like, I don't even ever remember feeling like that, or that's so not where I am now, because the essences have this beautiful way of resonating, right, with lower level energy, with trauma that we're holding in the body, and really moving it to the surface and clearing it, that these things just sort of shed and fall away. And what happens is that we begin to kind of emerge and bloom into who we're becoming. And that's that role. So the practitioner is guidance, the support, the listening, the pairing, you know, finding the right essences. Because when we get the right remedy to the right person, it's magical, honestly.
It is. And you also use like your intuition. And I feel like you also, it brings in that spiritual component where you're going to have your own guides also helping you guiding you to guide the client. And you have like that dimension also. It's so interesting. Like, I can't believe that it's not more mainstream than it is. Because in a way, I feel like I'm late to the party, because all of the UKs and like Latin America are all over flower essences. But like the US is not, it's not that popular here. And I was even surprised where I heard somewhere where even Cuba like recognized flower essences as a specific type of therapy.
Wow, I did not know that.
Cuba's known before the whole revolution and everything happened. They were very well respected in medicine. And then obviously everything went south, but they were like highly regarded. So to see that they were also recognizing flower therapy, flower essences, I was like, what? How have I not heard about this? This is amazing. So how can they be measured? Like, have you seen, because I know that it's vibrational medicine, and the sun infuses like the essence of the flower into the spring water. Have you seen any way of measuring that scientifically? Like, the skeptic in me is like, can we measure an aura? I was Googling like flower essences currently in photography. Has anybody documented anything outside of just like the clinical, you know, just having sessions with people, and after so many people say they all had the same reaction, then okay, then this flower does that. But like, can we see anything in science?
Yeah, so you're right. And as a practice, we proof, right? It's given to a lot of people, and we kind of, like homeopathy, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of proof the different essences. And I thought of that same thing, because there's so much technology being developed in and around sound and vibration and sound therapy, which I find fascinating and kind of in this same realm. So I've been thinking about that as well. Like, how can we measure, or can we measure the energy in the body, right? And then introduce an essence and see how that changes. And I have not done that. However, it has certainly been on my mind the more I am thinking about and working with energy medicine and sound therapy. Because I think there's this whole field of healing that is so critical and so very needed in our time right now. And you know, I think we're going to see more and more of that. And I don't know of anyone doing that specifically with flower essences, but I'm hoping there's someone out there. And if there is, contact me, please, and let me know. Because I would love to see the same.
Yeah, I was literally like, how much do one of these Carolian cameras cost? And I was Googling, and they're a lot of money. So yeah, I wish died quickly. But yeah, I had the same idea. Like, let's take a picture maybe of your aura and then take the essence and then take a picture after and see what Correct. Changes and then repeat it and see what we can find. But maybe that's homework.
And I think that will happen, right? If it's not happening already, I think that will certainly happen, because these fields are getting closer and closer together.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. One thing that I saw was, and you can talk about FES and Delta Gardens, is that I read that he's getting a lot of like validation from the scientific community by all of the experiments and the way that he approaches like all of his research. Because isn't his location considered like some sort of research center?
Do you mean David Dalton of Delta Gardens?
Yeah, Dalton Gardens.
Yeah, so he does a lot. And he's been making essences for years and years. I love his sets. I was honored to study with him. And so I use Delta Garden essences quite a bit in my practice, along with FES flowers, the Bach essences. I recently bought a new set from Alaskan essences that I am using and playing with myself, but I have not begun using in practice yet. Just sort of established establishing that relationship, you know, with the flowers and with the essences. So yeah, and there's so many. And, you know, I don't think that we don't need all of them.
it's overwhelming if you start.
There's a lot. And, you know, you can certainly have hundreds and hundreds of sets, but I think that you really just pay attention to what you're called to and work with those, you know, and get to know them. The same with herbs. You know, herbs, we use what we're called to, what our body needs, what we resonate with. And so we use our same intuition with flower essences as well. So, and you know, you touched on something earlier that the chakras, which I want to just spend a moment talking about, because, you know, flower essences and in this form of vibrational healing very much work with our chakra system. So this, you know, they come in through our, you know, we ingest them through our mouth and they kind of rest near our nervous system and by our chakras, right? And flower essences have this beautiful ability to resonate with trauma, certain traumas, and move them to the system, as I mentioned. They also have this ability to potentially restore velocity to a chakra that may be vibrating at a lower energy and even help connect chakras. So sometimes the trauma is so jarring to the system that there's a disconnect between the chakras. And it will help to kind of restore that. And so a practical example, because let's get practical and make this, you know, this is the medicine of the people. So let's really talk about what this means, you know? So you're going through your life and often in childhood, different things happen, traumas happen. It could be something so small as something that someone said to you when you were 8 years old that you just always hear in your mind whenever you're in a certain situation, or it could be something huge. You know, maybe your home burned down when you were a child, or even moving through life, right? Trauma is just low-level energy. If we're not able to process that event in the moment, meaning see it, move through it, and release it, we kind of pack it onto our body. And when we pack it onto our body, we usually do it in a place based upon the way emotionally we are internalizing that experience. So if my home burns down, I no longer have a place to live. I have a lack of security, and I'm going to store that in my root chakra, right? My lower chakra, which is about stability and security. If someone says something to me that hurts my, let's say I say something and someone says something back and they shut me up, I'm going to store that disharmony in my fifth chakra, in my throat, right? Being silenced and quieted. And so based upon how you internalize these things is where you hold that low-level trauma. And as we go through life, over time, we know that disharmony holds itself in our energetic field before it moves to the physical. So over time, we can begin to see physical manifestations or disease in the physical body based upon where we're storing this low-level trauma. So in pairing together herbs to support the body and energetics as well, but also working with flower essences to clear away these energies of this low-level energy that we're holding on to, we're approaching health and wellness from a completely, you know, broad and holistic point of view. And so when we begin to move these things, right, move that trauma out of the throat, and we open up our voice and we're able to ask for what we need, ask for, you know, the things that are true to our heart, say the words to get, you know, to clearly communicate our vision and our passion, our love, our, you know, sense of being in the world safely, things start changing. Perceptions start changing. The way you move through the world starts changing. How you see your future, your day, your week, your month, your future, your space in the world. And so that's where the real change and the real healing happens, because we're not limiting ourselves based on this thing we've been carrying around. So I also, in my practice, you know, weave in shamanic energy healing and shamanic work. And, you know, I tend to think about these traumas that we hold, especially from childhood, as our past. And here, you know, we're kind of working in the South, and it's like clearing the past, clearing these things that we're holding, no longer allowing those energies to feast at our table, you know, letting that go so that we can be here in the present moment now and really walk through our life and move through our life at our best self.
I love it. I'm like, yes, in a nutshell. Yes, preach. Yes.
Just like that.
Just like that. Here's your chakras. Yeah, this is what gets stuck to it.
They're this beautiful gift. Like, there's a reason why at every occasion we give flowers, whether hello, happy, yes, sad, I'm sorry, happy birthday. Like, flowers are joyful. They do this. They have this effect on us that just clears and brings joy.
Have you heard the part where, not the part, but where they would communicate with the flower bouquets when they weren't, like, they would send like the cryptic messages and flower bouquets because they weren't allowed to communicate back in like hundreds of years ago.
No.
And that has something to do with like their meanings that they have. And they would, women would like send bouquets to each other because they couldn't say specific things. So they would know like, oh, we got this flower. This means that this is happening and that is happening. And that fascinated me. I learned that was from Robert Reeves and the flower healer certification.
Wow. No, I did not know.
Yeah. That. So there was like the language of flowers in itself. Then all the reasons. Like
hidden messages in flowers.
Why we use them in for everything. I mean, really, they're just amazing. I feel like with the flower essences, the more I get to learn, I feel like all these little flowers are getting up and giving you like their own form of Reiki.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of see in my mind's like these crystalline structures, like around the flowers, these like crystalline structures where you kind of just go stand near them and feel better. You know, like think about the last time you just sort of stopped and smelled a flower. Like stop and smell the roses is a thing, right? It's a thing. Like it just has this naturally calming effect on you.
It does. Totally. It does. I love the smell of rose. And I learned that like the flower, the rose has the highest vibration, like the most evolved flower. And one of my previous shamanic teachers, she would make, she had like flower essence, not flower, like essential, rose essential oil, like rollers. You can't be depressed around one of those things. You can't simultaneously smell a brown, like a rose essence and be sad. Like there's just, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just so amazing. And I was listening to this other flower essence audiobook and they were talking about how plants have emotions and they've been able to measure them and they've played different music for them and how they grow in the direction. And they even like hugged one of the speakers because it was like classical music. And then the plant that was like around the rock music, it like crawled up a fence and like ran away from the speaker. Like all these different experiences, and they have emotions and sadness and this and that, and they can measure these things. And I'm like, what? Like, this is, was so wild. So they're way, now I feel bad because I wasn't watering some of my plants.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah. I mean, we live in an adamant, living, breathing world, you know, and why should flowers be any different? Why would plants be any different? They've been here way longer than us. They've evolved. They're way more advanced and community driven and kind, honestly,
yeah,
to each other and to the planet, you know.
That's what I noticed that I found so soothing for me was that after my daughter got diagnosed with diabetes is when the flowers came in and their energy and the flower healing and the flower essences, like it all just like held me in such a nurturing, beautiful, gentle space. Like I couldn't have done shamanic work at that time because I'm too raw. Like shamanic work, I mean, it's not also for the lighthearted sometimes, you know, it is and it is. It's more in your face. I love it. Still, yeah. my first preference of modality for healing, but I didn't have the bandwidth for that type of work. I just needed something super gentle and loving to catch me in the madness of like, oh my God, my daughter is now diabetic. What does this mean for me, for her, for all of us? And I was just drawing the flowers. I would pull the flower oracle card and I'm like, I don't want to read about it. I'm just going to draw them. And I'll write bullet points to like, what are their healing components to the flower next to it. And that's it. And every night I was just drawing flowers. And that's how they were healing me. Very gently, not in my face, not schooling me like with a spirit guide. Like, no, just holding that super loving, delicate space. And even when my father died, I was mourning inside of the calla lily. I was like visualizing myself curled up in fetal position inside of a calla lily, just sobbing, but being held by this like super loving flower. And so even like that, where I'm not even ingesting the essence, but just working with them in different ways was just, it was what I needed. It came when I needed it.
That's beautiful. That's such a beautiful vision to think of you in the calla lily. Yeah, they are. You're right. They're beautiful. They're subtle. They're intensely moving, but in a really calm and supportive and nurturing. I mean, they are the creative expression of the plant. Mm. You know, they really are. They're beautiful. That's sort of the crowning jewel of the plant. And so, yeah, I feel like they do that for us. They nurture and support. I think about, it's funny you say that, because I put my hands up and I'll explain, like, these flowers will hold you like a baby in a mother's hands, you know, and just say, go with you on that journey. Without being too jarring and too powerful and too pushy. They just have this way of bringing us back to resonance, bringing us back to balance, moving out what we don't need. And they do that really well.
They really do. Had I not put myself through the experiment, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah. And I think this is, you know, for everyone listening to this podcast, it's one thing to hear and read about flower essences. It's quite another thing to work with them and really have that palpable experience. It's something you just have to experience to really know, because the knowing is so deep. And it's so personal sometimes that there really aren't words that express it. It's just a feeling that you hold. And I think art is a beautiful way to express it, because you can capture that, you know. I also like to recommend to clients sometimes, you know, we can go outside and pick flowers and put ourselves in a bath and literally emerge our body in a flower bath, in a flower essence, and feel those healing properties. So if there's a certain chakra that you're working with and there's a color that's resonating with you, or there is a plant, a beautiful flower bush or tree outside that you're always sort of in communication with, go ask permission, you know, ask, can I bring some blooms and take a bath and practice that self-love and that self-caring and welcome the flowers into your life. It's a beautiful practice.
So I want to touch on something you had said earlier, which was, and now I just slipped my mind. So I'm going to skip to another question and then we'll come back to that. Have you noticed that when clients come to you, has the stuck emotions already manifested in their body physically? Or are they like aware that, let me work on this emotionally before it gets on the physical plane? Like, which one do you have more of?
So I think as a culture, we tend to keep going until something breaks, right? And so most of my clients will have some type of physical complaint. I would say probably, 10 or 15% are very health and wellness minded and want to see what else they can learn about. I think people in general are really curious about herbalism and flower essences. And so they're like, what is this about? Where I live, there are not very many herbalists at all. And we're one of the only herb shops around. And so there's a lot of curiosity that's building. And I think, so there's this good portion. But most of the time when I'm working with clients, there is something that's happened. There's some physical disharmony, there's a major life event or something. And as we begin to talk through what's happening and begin to address the physical manifestations, we very quickly kind of transform into what are the emotions behind that and what is the energetics behind that. And we go back, because as herbalists, we'd like to understand, that original insult, that we go back in time to understand where and how did this all begin to take shape. And then we work with flower essences and lifestyle practices and, various things to kind of begin to unravel that so that we can just release it. Our clients can just release it.
Flower essences are also safe for kids and pets.
Yeah, they've been used with animals for way longer than it became part of human use. Oh, wow. And they're very animals. I don't work with animals. I'm not really knowledgeable in that area, but they are very sensitive. I have used them with children. They're safe, so they don't, interact with any medications. They're essentially, water infusions. And so you can use them safely. And yeah,
I saw that the World Health Organization recognizes flower essence therapy as a complementary alternative medicine. I didn't know that until I saw that today. And another definition that I found was that they bring light to the light body. I liked that definition by Julian Bernard. I was like, ooh, they bring light to the light body. I like that.
So that light and vibration, which is really what we are, you know, at a particle level, we are light and vibration. And so that's exactly what it's bringing to us.
So I had one of those aha moments of flower essences, but I need you to confirm or deny. So the last podcast I recorded a few days ago, I was talking about how I was missing the mystery. Like I missed the woo in my life. I've been so just like root chakra survival, the baby, just trying to survive and stay sane, that I haven't really. And even just since I had the baby, not even a diagnosis, her diagnosis, just since going through birth and COVID and this and that, I missed being in the woo and in that mystery. And I was in the woo all the time. I would wake up before work and I had like no responsibilities outside my day job pretty much and having a good time. And I would wake up and meditate and I could journal and I could just spend all this time in the ethers and then go to work and then come back and go back in. And it was just like super like magical. And then like life hit and now I'm like, oh my God, I missed the mystery. And all of a sudden I got dropped into the mystery again. Like all these synchronicities happened and in ways I didn't think would happen. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm back in here and I'm all the synchronicities again. And I'm feeling that magic again. And I was just so like, oh, yes, I'm back in the mystery. And then I realized that it's been happening for the same amount of time that I started taking flower essences 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to tell you what's in my blend. And then you tell me, because I don't know what I chose. So I have like, I think maybe like 8 flower essences. I don't know anything about them because that's what I have you for. And then I was like, I have these here, but I haven't done a session with you lately, but I want to take some because I have them here, but I don't know what I need. So I'm going to use the sway method. I used the muscle testing. What is it? Kinesiology? What's? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, let me use the sway method to just hold all of these and see which ones are the ones that are right for me. And 3 of them came up for me. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw these in a bottle, do it for 2 weeks. I don't know what they're for, but hey, let's just have an experiment. So what's in the bottle is olive, red chestnut, and oak.
And you feel like you've been back into the woo, back into your place. Have you shed some things and made courageous moves to kind of change some things in your life?
I feel like I had like this synchronicity, you know, the author from The Woman That Runs With The Wolves. Have you heard that? Have you read the book?
Yeah, Women Who Run With The Wolves.
Yeah, so she has another like talk that I came across and I feel like it just exploded my heart open. But now I'm starting to wonder, was there more to it because of the flower essences? And I look back of the timing of everything. And it's been very much like, there's been a big shift in my mindset, a very like putting my foot down and saying like enough with speaking negatively about myself or putting myself down and just like enough already. Like we need to really change and be very disciplined with like how we speak to ourselves and how we're going to show up in the world. It was just very like, I'm over, like this is done. And it's not nothing new that I didn't know already, but it was finally like something's been clicking, like we're done here.
Yeah. So I find that interesting. And I'm just 1 second. Mm-hmm. We're going to pause a minute. So we're going to edit this a second because I want to look at something.
No problem.
You know, it's funny because I recently was working with oak. You know, so here you're kind of picking trees, right? And I want to speak more specifically. So give me a minute because there's words that I'm looking for. So hold.
Okay.
So I wanted to take a minute to consider the blends and the different things that you picked and knowing you and sort of what you have gone through a little. So, you know, the blend, it's really interesting with the blend, because in red chestnut, you know, that's very much about over fear for loved ones, right? And you had this experience of like caring for your daughter and everything that happens with her and sort of what that meant, like you were saying, right? And so it eases that worry and brings rest to the system for that real over concern for a loved one or a family member. So like, you know, you imagine the tide kind of like coming back from that worry and anxiety. And then in olive and oak, you know, olive is so much about that easing of putting in so much effort and relaxing into that, you know, alleviating that tiredness, relaxing into that. It's like for afterwards, like all this focus and energy was put into it. And now you can kind of, you know, come back a little bit from that. And oak is really strong people who struggle past, right? So easing that, struggling past and getting through everything and doing what needs to be done and kind of having that brute force. And so I find it interesting because you shifted, you know, when we think about the wound that you were in and then the roles that you were called to perform in and easing that tide. So allowing you to kind of pull back to parts of you that are you that brought you joy. It could be that the essence is supporting you and kind of not detaching, but loosening the reins that were keeping you so tied into all of the things that pulled you away from the woo. Hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those are parts like of the personality, parts of your personality where you kind of went in to like, this is happening. You know, your daughter was up all the time. So you kind of had to be, you know, on 24/7. And there wasn't this freedom to kind of breathe and be back in this space where you, you know, you find this joyfulness and this rest, honestly, right? And then that renews the system. It gives you, you know, a better chance and a better ability to come back into that moment and to be able to care for and nurture and without that, you know, tired and that extreme worry and that have to get through this kind of, you know, mentality.
I like that word, that sense of renewal that it did. It's like, even though I'm still busy and have to can do the caretaking and the medical caretaking, but it was like I was sitting there with her in this like state of ecstasy. Not all the time, because when she's fussy, she's fussy. But when she's in a good mood and I'm in the space together, I've been like, oh my God, like it's been very surreal and grounding, but it's like grounding, but out of body at the same time, because I'm like so present and grateful, but also I feel out of body, like expansive. So it's just when I was preparing for the interview, it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, it happened again.
Well, think about, you know, the mind has that ability, you know, when we start getting tumbled by the waves of thoughts that are coming at us and they're just sort of tumbling over us, we can't see our way out. We get so caught in what it is that we're thinking, what it is that we're doing, that there is no peripheral vision. You know, there is only this, there's only what you're focused on and what you're dealing with in your mind. And when we introduce breath, literal breath, but also space, like space and breath in the moment, and in the day, you can say, okay, these thoughts are happening. These are the things that I'm doing, but I don't need to be consumed, right? And so I feel that the, you know, in this combination, but just also in practices of what, you know, like being grounded and opening that awareness, like, and it's hard with young children, definitely when they're fussy, because you get sucked right in. It's like, you know, every ounce of your being gets sucked right into that situation, you know?
Yes.
So we have to pull back and remember, like, this is not the full experience of creation. There's other things that are happening here. Mm,
so good. So what's your favorite or couple favorite of your like clinical stories, like with working? Do you have any faves?
Oh, favorite stories. You know, I don't know if I have individual favorite stories. I think, actually, you know what? I do have a favorite story or something that just really makes me happy. I remember that I had a client once and we were talking about his life, right? And his story and where he was right now and what he needed. And we were kind of like setting intentions for where he wanted to go, what he needed to pull into his life to help him really kind of get through this, like, you know, pretty intense situation. And I remember, like, I didn't know what essence It was. I knew the intention of what we wanted to work with, but like usually I'll hear the words, I'll, you know the flowers, or I'll really, but I knew that there was something. And, you know, when you have a lot of essences to work with, you don't have every single one committed to memory. And so I remember we set these intentions, and I work a lot with the pendulum, and I just went to all of my sets and I used my pendulum and I kind of went through all of them and selected essences for him. And when he, and I made his blend, and when he left, I ended up going, you know, to my books, and I said, okay, what is happening here? Cause I was really clear, like these are his essences. There was no doubt about it. And I went to my book. And, you know, as I'm reading the words, I just remember stopping and beginning to weep, because it was exactly the intention that we had set. And even without, you know, this is not us doing, this is not me in my ego, in my education. This is not me doing. This is me being the vessel to help bring the plants and the flowers to others. And that was such a clear experience, and humbling, and so filled with gratitude that it was just absolutely beautiful. And I just stopped, and I remember like crying and just being so grateful for this work that I'm able to do. So that was very profound for me in my career in doing this. But the thing that I really love, I love when people come in and they're like, what is she talking about? Like flower essences, you've got to be kidding me. And then we begin to work together and these things start shifting. And I love seeing that twinkle in the eye. Like, wow, something is really happening here. And it's not going to take me 5 years, 10 years, 20 years to have changes in my life, right? It's really intentional and very energetic. And they feel it physically, they feel it emotionally. And things are great, you know, and not always, you know, sometimes, okay, it's not so much, but it was a very pleasant experience. And they're like, thankful for the ritual of taking the essence and moving through, but they continue, right? And we grow and we open more and we experience more. And so it's the whole thing. I'm just happy to be with the flowers every day. But it's the unfolding. That's my favorite part in every story, big, small, it's the unfolding.
I love that. I love witnessing like the unfolding in people, no matter what the healing modality. It's just like such a beautiful process to watch. Do you have another personal story, maybe not a client story, with the flower essence that is memorable also?
Yeah. So I touched on, in the beginning, my work with Indian pipe. And so Indian pipe as a flower essence is about helping us connect to universal love, right? And at the time, most of my life, I was always a very spiritual person, always very connected. And when I was 30, I lost my mother to cancer. And I had a very hard time after that connecting, right? And feeling this universal love. Like it was very hard for me to get back to that. I stopped writing, I stopped doing kind of all of these things. And I chose, in learning about flower essences, I chose Indian pipe as my first, because I was so missing this connection, this like, you know, this connection to the greater, this connection to the love that's all around. And I just couldn't feel it. I was blocked by far. I mean, it was a very traumatic experience for me. And I remember after about a month of working with Indian pipe, I don't even remember where I was. All I know is the experience was I was standing there. And you know how like a computer screen can get pixelated, or like the TV can get pixelated? So I felt myself standing in reality. And then around the edges, so if you could imagine like a big circle, or the edges of my vision became pixelated. And I remember understanding for me in the moment that there was no difference, and that it was all connected. And I felt that like universal love in this vision. And that's another like really clear vision that I can still recall in my mind. And in that moment, I knew that that was Indian pipe. And I knew that I was having that experience of feeling that universal love. And so flower essences give us these experiences, and we don't need to, like, I don't have to take Indian pipe for the rest of my life to feel that, because I've been like imprinted, right? I've had that experience of what it has to offer, and I can go back to that anytime. So I like to encourage people to write about it, or really commit that to memory, like spend some time really feeling and letting that experience sink in so that it becomes cell memory. You know, it's like in our energetic field. And so I can always kind of come back to that vision and just feel that love. And so, yeah, that's why I do what I do.
That's a great story. You had quite the mystical experience right out the gate.
Yeah. And like, that's really when when I go back to like, why is this such a big part of my practice? It was like, because I, without a shadow of a doubt, believe and feel and know that they're profound. They're subtle and they're profound.
Yeah. That definitely was my experience working with you and the flowers, and I was working on all my mother like paradigm as a daughter, as a mom, as a stepmom, and all these this big theme in my life, and how I related to all these different roles and the blocks I had around all of them. And then it came in that moment where I was like, oh wow, I don't feel like this anymore regarding this, and I don't feel like that anymore, and oh my god, I had this huge heart to heart with my mom, and wait, my relationship with my mom has changed, and all of this. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And again, I could have saved how much in therapy? I could have just done flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also want to say, like, it's not always going to be these grand experiences. Yeah. We see this a lot also in shamanic practice with journeying. Like, sometimes we just sit in meditation. Sometimes we just sit in the dark. Sometimes the work is just being still and being open, or opening ourselves, or listening. And so, while these experiences sound grandiose, they are just as important when they are so subtle and so quiet and so internal, And so I don't want your listeners to think that they have to experience something revolutionary or, this grand revelation about their lives, because it happens on all different levels. And I think we hold ourselves in grace, and we hold ourselves for where we are now in our healing and what we're able to see, but we know that they're working on a deep level to bring us to a better place, to bring us to a more healing and more, in synchronicity sort of a place.
Thank you.
So we hold ourselves. Yeah.
It's important. It's not all unicorns and rainbows.
No. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it moves emotions that we really need to work through, and we're sad and we're crying, and it's like you're letting that go. And, when you're ready for it, it happens. So
definitely. I also feel that, I feel like energy, any type of energy work is like preventative medicine, right? Because you're working on that energy, on your energy field and your emotional, mental bodies, and trying hopefully for nothing to manifest physically. And it's preventative medicine. Do you feel like, has it reversed anything for anybody? Have you seen someone come in, out of curiosity, that, I know we get into like murky waters in this topic, but like, have you seen somebody come in with a physical ailment and then reverse it after they've done the emotional work with the essences?
So if we look at stress and anxiety, which is chronic, right, all throughout our communities, our societies, that comes with a lot of physical disharmony as well, upset stomach, heart palpitations, And in working with essence, so we want to go deeper, right? Like, why is that stress and anxiety manifesting? What is it that happens? What's the situation? What are you holding on to? Where does the fear come from? Fear of driving, fear of being, in places, fear of being around people, social anxiety. We see the emotions and the energies of what we're doing, or what we're experiencing, then becoming physical manifestations, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination. I think that we, work with herbs to support kind of that matter, that those physical manifestations of disharmony, but we certainly work with flower essences to clear those imprints. Like, what is it about that particular situation that's causing this increase in anxiety. You know, what is it about your belief that you need to be the leader, the role model, the driver, the nonstop workaholic? Where does that come from that we need to clear so that you can give yourself a relief, that you can take time to rest and relax and work through those cycles of work and play? So they're all related. You know, we can't take apart the energetic from the physical, but we do see over time as things begin to resolve and that anxiety get lessened, you know, becomes less of an issue and the mind becomes, you know, more sort of in tune and the essences are working to clear those energetic blocks, that the physical follows suit. You know, the stomach issues may go away, the heart palpitations may be less, the tightening of the shoulders and the face and the jaw might be less from like bracing for what you think could be happening. So it all sort of snowballs together, you know, and it doesn't matter what the way in is, like what that thing is that makes you walk through the door and say, something needs to change here, because we as, and that's the beautiful thing about herbalists. And I love that there's, you know, so many schools now and so many people interested in it, because in this field, we look at all of it, you know, and we help address things in a really natural way that is, you know, changing and moving, and the body follows suit. Most of the time, not always, most of the time.
So if a person wants to work with you, what should they expect? What is the experience of having a flower essence practitioner hold space for you? What does that look like? And how long and all those details?
Yeah. So for all new clients, the first consult is an hour and a half. It's 90 minutes. And I ask a whole bunch of questions. We talk about your physical health, your energetic health, your emotions, what's going on with you, if you're on any medications or vitamins or supplements, your diet, your sleep, all kinds of things. And I begin to sort of understand and put together patterns and see how things are unfolding. And usually, not always, but most of the time, we may begin flower essence therapy in that first session, where I'll custom blend an essence. I work with clients both in person in Florida, but also on Zoom. And so if they're not here, I'll mail whatever's required, whatever's needed, and we'll kind of do work that way. So, you know, after the first consult, I follow up with a really detailed email with all my recommendations, which usually include herbs, flower essences, lifestyle practices, you know, food recommendations, and whatever it is based upon the goals that we've set and the intentions that we've set. I typically get together again 3 weeks later, and then we kind of see if how the protocols are working, how the client is feeling, what's happening, and we make changes as we go. And with flower essence specifically, I would say, you know, 99.9% of the time we're changing the essences as we go from month to month, because things are just moving and shifting and changing, you know, and we say, okay, what's been cleared? Where are we at now? How are we going to, you know, continue this work? And so I'll send new blends out and hold that space.
And I can attest to everything she just said. That is exactly how it went down. And even though we're both in South Florida, she's not driving distance away. She is. I mean, we're 2 hours apart, I think.
Just about, yeah.
2 hours, I think so. Which is when I can't get there yet. I will, though. I'm dying to make it up to the store. But yeah, you mailed me my flower essences. It came right away and intact, thankfully. And that's how we worked together. That was wonderful. And what other stuff? Because I know that you have your apothecary for those who are local too, that can get to Jupiter. And you also teach courses online, on Zoom, and in person. What are those?
Yeah. So a year ago, we opened up Herbs and Owls here in Jupiter. So we have an herb shop. We have over 200 herbs, roots, barks, flowers, fungi. It's fantastic that we sell by the ounce. We're also fully online. So at shop.herbsandowls.com, or just go to the website. You can order online and we ship everywhere in the U.S. So that's really fun, because I custom blend a lot of teas. We carry crystals and various things. And so people, you know, my goal. So we also have a classroom, and I teach a bunch of classes on herbs and shamanism workshops and all kinds of, I do an herb talk, because my goal is to share the wisdom and the personalities of the plants for people to be able to walk into the herb shop, know these beautiful allies that are on the shelves and be able to begin to work with them and have them in their homes, because we need more plants in people's homes so that they can go to their kitchen and go to their herb cabinet, you know, it's for their own health and wellness and take charge of their health, you know, and be more informed about what they're doing. So I do herbal medicine making classes, herbs for various conditions. I offer a free intro to herbal medicine class once a month where I teach, you know, how to begin to understand how to select herbs for you. And so that's really great. And the vision of the classroom is just that, you know, for everyone who wants to learn, for people, if it's, I'm asked all the time, how do I make a tea? So for people who this is the first tea they've ever made, to others who are really interested in making oils and tinctures and, you know, all kinds of herbal preparations. We have all kinds of classes. I do teach some online. We do most in person now, but there will be more Zoom live classes coming up. And I have a couple that are on demand. So that's really the vision. You know, the vision of Herbs and Owls is not only my practice and in working one-on-one with clients, which I love, but also to be able to offer an herb shop and a full class schedule to just bring as many plants as possible to as many people as possible.
You're doing a great job. Do you have help? Are you a one-woman show, or do you have
a... Well, so I opened Herbs and Owls with my partner. Her name is Demetra Christiani. She is actually my stepmom. And so we actually are loving doing this. We made the decision, like I said, about a year ago and just jumped in. She manages the herb shop. She helps me organize all of the classes, but I do obviously the consults and the teaching. And we work together on everything else. So it's been really fun sharing it with her.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so good. And I believe I got an email about mentoring, like one-on-one. No, weren't you doing like business? No, I
herbal mentoring.
Yeah. You're not doing like business coaching.
Oh, so I had done a free webinar for wellness practitioners. Okay. In introducing them to flower essences, because, you know, prior to being in this realm of clinical herbalism, I owned an online marketing company for 10 years and I worked in .com from the early 90s, and, you know, plants sort of took over my life. And I said, you know, I walked away from that and I started doing this a while ago. But what I found is that wellness entrepreneurs are so passionate about what they're doing. So they've had something happened in their life or the lives of someone they loved, and they learned a healing modality and they're like, that's it. This is what I'm doing. And there are these different blocks that they have. And I feel like we need more and more healers to rise. We need more, you know, wellness practitioners out there in the world, especially now. And so I had done a webinar for wellness practitioners, introducing them to flower essences and helping them move, which ones will help them move these blocks. So like, you know, oh my goodness, everyone thinks my idea is crazy. Is this crazy? And that insecurity, or how am I going to make a living? You know, root chakra issues. And it was really fun. It was really fun. And I think I may offer that, you know, a few more times in the future. But, you know, it was just me being in service to other wellness entrepreneurs who were needed. We're needed. So if you're out there and you have a question and you want to move some, you know, work with some things that are holding you back from really, you know, embracing the vision of how you want to serve others, reach out to me.
Yes. Reach out to Gina. Now I'm like, we'll stay on after the call because I'm feeling... But that's exactly what I saw. Definitely. And the email was like, there's something business related I saw somewhere. Okay. So this has been great. I know we could probably talk for hours when it comes to the essences, because it's like, how do you take them and can you make them? And what if you want to become a practitioner? And are you going to offer like flower essence practitioner trainings one day?
Yeah. So I have a flower essence training that I do. It's two-hour sessions. The program is not open right now, but it is on the website. And if you sign up for our newsletter, I'll let you know when that reopens again. It's not like a certified practitioner training. It's more, you know, what are flower essences? How do we use them? How do we make them? How do we understand how to blend them? What is vibrational medicine? So it's sort of opening this door way, not only for individuals that want to use them for themselves and with their family and friends, but also for, you know, people in wellness that want to begin to bring this into their practice.
Yes. And I took that class too, and it was great. So juicy. I love all of this stuff. I feel like a fairy. It's fantastic. Oh, so good. So good. So thank you so much for being on the show. This has been just so much good information, and I can't wait to have you back to talk about more stuff, because you are also a woman of many, many, many talents and so many things we can talk to you about from different perspectives. But Flower Essences is a great place to start, and I wish you the best in your business and everything that you're doing. And just thank you.
Thank you. I'm really honored to be on your podcast. And I think you're doing amazing things too. I would, you know, yeah, I agree. There's so many topics that we could talk about, and I welcome all of it. Thanks for having me here. And yeah, thank you.
All right, folks, it's a wrap. Thanks for listening. As you know, this content is free, but it isn't free to produce. To support the podcast, you can purchase a Pachanga and Possibility t-shirt at cutiecrewbrand.com. A portion of the proceeds go towards finding a cure for type 1 diabetes. If you love this episode, share it with a friend. Use the share feature to text it over to them right now. Also, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. And last but not least, it'd be extra cool if you can rate the show and leave a written review wherever you listen. Thanks again for being here. I know how valuable your time is.